Good evening, everyone. Why don't you grab a Bible? There should be some in the pews. And turn to Habakkuk, which is on page 942 in the pew Bibles. Hello again, everyone, especially if you're new. Welcome, it's good to see you. We're here for the third and final part of our series looking at the book of Habakkuk. And Habakkuk has been on a crazy journey. He's a prophet. So he has been speaking to God, and God has been speaking to him, and he's had a crazy journey. In chapter 1 of the book, he basically says to God, "Hello, why aren't you listening to me, God? How long are you going to keep putting me on hold?" And he's crying out to God. There's violence, and there's evil, and there's injustice in Israel. When are you going to do something about it, God? And God replies to him and says, "Look, this will amaze you. You won't believe this. I'm going to send the Babylonian army who are going to punish Israel. They're ruthless. They are evil. And they're going to invade Israel and they're going to carry people off. And I'm going to use them to punish Israel for their sin." And Habakkuk says, "What? That's crazy. You're going to use them, the Babylonians, to punish us? They're even worse than we are. Are you just going to let them, the Babylonians, just carry on with their evil?" And he says in verse 13, earlier in the book, "Why are you silent while the wicked swallow up those more righteous than themselves?" How does that work? Lord, you are a holy God, and these Babylonians are the worst. But chapter 2 is spent with God saying, "No, Habakkuk. Now, I'm going to destroy them too. Their time will come. They are evil. They worship fake gods. They're evil and arrogant. They're guilty. I don't tolerate evil people. Their time will come." And so you might expect Habakkuk to say in our passage tonight, you might expect him to say now, "Oh, well, God, I don't really understand your plan. It doesn't really make much sense to me. I mean, it's not how I would have done it, but I guess I'll trust you." But he doesn't say that. He prays. He writes a song for all God's people to sing. Habakkuk has done a big U-turn in the road. At the start of the book, he was saying, "Lord, what are you doing?" But now he basically says, "Wow, wow, Almighty God, you are amazing. You blow my mind. Lord, you're amazing." So let's read it from the big three, halfway down the page, from chapter 3. Let's read it. A prayer of Habakkuk the prophet on Shigionoth. "Lord, I have heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds, Lord. Repeat them in our day. In our time, make them known. In wrath, remember mercy. God came from Teman, the Holy One from Mount Paran. His glory covered the heavens, and his praise filled the earth. His splendor was like the sunrise. Rays flashed from his hand where his power was hidden. Plague went before him. Pestilence followed his steps. He stood and shook the earth. He looked and made the nations tremble. The ancient mountains crumbled and the age-old hills collapsed. But he marches on forever. I saw the tents of Cushan in distress, the dwellings of Midian in anguish. Were you angry with the rivers, Lord? Was your wrath against the streams? Did you rage against the sea when you rode your horses and your chariots to victory? You uncovered your bow. You called for many arrows. You split the earth with rivers. The mountains saw you and writhed. Torrents of water swept by. The deep roared and lifted its waves on high. Sun and moon stood still in the heavens at the glint of your flying arrows, at the lightning of your flashing spear. In wrath you strode through the earth, and in anger you threshed the nations. You came out to deliver your people, to save your anointed one. You crushed the leader of the land of wickedness. You stripped him from head to foot. With his own spear you pierced his head when his warriors stormed out to scatter us, gloating as though about to devour the wretched who were in hiding. You trampled the seas with your horses, churning the great waters. I heard, and my heart pounded. My lips quivered at the sound. Decay crept into my bones, and my legs trembled. Yet, I will wait patiently for the day of calamity to come on the nation invading us. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the sheepfold and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on the heights for the director of music on my stringed instruments. And that's our passage. So Habakkuk responds to what God has said up to this point by singing a song. And we know it's a song for a few reasons. Firstly, because of what it says in the first line. It says it's a Shigayonoth. Who knows what that means? It says at the bottom of the page, helpfully, in a footnote, that it's to do with music. It's probably a musical term. Great. And the very last line of the book, it says, for the director of music on my stringed instruments. So we know it's a song. For God's people to sing, they would have sung it in the temple when they got together. And I've put on the screen how you could split it up, how you could chunk it up, if that's not too small on the screen, sorry. So you've got the intro in verse 1 and 2, and then the big chunk of the passage, Habakkuk talks about what has God done in the past. He's showing his awesomeness, he's destroyed his enemies, rescuing his people. Spends a lot of time talking about that. And then it ends in verses 16 to 19 with Habakkuk's response, which is fear and faith and joy. He fears the Lord, he trusts the Lord, and he delights in the Lord. So that's how we're going to split it up. Well, let's take it from the top. What does Habakkuk say? What is Habakkuk's prayer? What's his song? So verse 2 says, Lord, I've heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds, Lord. Repeat them in our day, in our time. Make them known. In wrath, remember mercy. Habakkuk praises God. He says, I'm amazed by you, Lord. I'm in awe of you. Everything that you've done in the past, do it again. Show your power. Rescue your people. And in your wrath, remember your mercy on your people. Do it again, Habakkuk says. And in the main chunk of the song, Habakkuk relives all that God has done for his people Israel. He chews on it. He remembers all the amazing, awesome things that God has done for his people in the past. God appeared to his people and rescued them like an amazing, terrifying warrior. Verse 3 says, his glory covered the heavens and his praise filled the earth. His splendor was like the sunrise. Rays flashed from his hand. God is more glorious, more beautiful, more incredible, more spectacular than the sunrise. He's majestic. Verses 5 and 6 show that God is so spectacular, he just has to stand still and look. And the whole earth shakes. He just has to stand still and look, and the whole world trembles. He's that majestic. What a thought. We sing that line, don't we? We sing it a lot. Behold our God. That line in the song. Kings and nations tremble at his voice. But this passage actually goes further than that. It's true, but it says here that God doesn't even have to speak. He just has to look, and the whole world trembles. The head teacher at the junior school that I went to, he was a fearsome bloke. I can remember he used to walk in a room and just a school hall full of students could just hush immediately. But no one can do what God can do. That's not even close to what God can do. He just stands and looks, and the whole world trembles. Amazing. Look at the rest of verse 6. Verse 6 says, massive ancient mountains that have always been there, hills and cliffs that are just unshakable, God can crumble them. As easy as treading on a sandcastle at the seaside. God can squash them, collapse them. They just crumble. But notice the difference at the end of verse 6. He, the Lord, marches on forever. Notice the comparison that Habakkuk is making. These massive mountains that you see, you think they'll always be there. You think they're eternal, but they're not eternal. They'll crumble someday, but God? No, not him. He's eternal. He'll last forever. He's always been there and he always will be there. And so much of the song, Habakkuk's song, is made to make us think back to God rescuing his people out of slavery in Egypt. So look at verse 8. Were you angry with the rivers, Lord? Was your wrath against the streams? Did you rage against the sea when you rode your horses and your chariots to victory? You uncovered your bow and you called for many arrows. It's meant to make us think of the Exodus, when God rescued his people out of slavery in Egypt. And he parted the Red Sea. He was like a warrior riding in his chariot. He was like an archer in battle, releasing volley after volley of arrows raining down on the heads of his enemies. Verse 10 says, the mountains saw you and writhed. That is a crazy image, isn't it? The mountains just writhing as if they're in pain, like with terror. But that's not all. Verse 11 says, sun and moon stood still in the heavens at the glint of your flying arrows, at the lightning of your flashing spear. In wrath you strode through the earth, and in anger you threshed the nations. This bit, I think, is meant to make us think of the bit in the book of Joshua when God causes the sun to stand still in the sky, and he fights for his people. But here, the sun and moon stand still because of the flashing of God's arrows, the brightness of his spear. God is a warrior fighting for his people. He threshes the nations in verse 12 as easily as a farmer with his pitchfork threshing, tossing the grain into the air. It's effortless. Verse 13 goes on, you came out to deliver your people, to save your anointed one. You crushed the leader of the land of wickedness. You stripped him from head to foot. With his own spear, you pierced his head when his warriors stormed out to scatter us. God is a terrifying, awesome warrior who fights for his people. He crushes his enemies, humiliating anyone who dared to threaten his people. Like a soldier wrenching the spear from his enemy's hand and finishing him. Amazing. And verse 15, you trampled the sea with your horses, churning the great waters. As Habakkuk is saying all this, he's reliving all that God has done for his people in the past. Everything that God has done in the Old Testament, showing his awesomeness, destroying his enemies, rescuing his people. And we're just meant to stop and say, whoa, God is incredible. God is huge. God is amazing. And Habakkuk hears God's plan up till this point in the book. God's plan to punish Israel and to destroy Babylon eventually. And this is what he does. He remembers that God is a terrifying, awesome warrior who fights for his people. And in a minute, we're going to see then what Habakkuk does. What is Habakkuk's response? And then we'll see how we should respond today. What's the right way to respond to this amazing, terrifying warrior God? But before we do that, I think it would be good to stop and pray, because God is amazing. He's staggeringly awesome. So let's pray now. Father, it is just amazing to think about the way that you came and rescued your people, not just out of Egypt, but then again and again after that. You came like a warrior and you fought for them. You're awe-inspiring, and we praise you. And please give us your help now to know how we should act on Habakkuk's prayer, how we should respond to you. In Jesus' name, amen. So Habakkuk remembers how God saved his people in the past, and his response is fear and faith and joy in verses 16 to 18. So Habakkuk fears the Lord, Habakkuk trusts the Lord, and Habakkuk delights in the Lord. God has promised Habakkuk that he will use the Babylonians to punish Israel, and then promises Habakkuk that he'll rescue Israel from them. And as Habakkuk thinks about God, this amazing warrior, how he's rescued his people from their enemies again and again, look what happens to him in verse 16. It's quite a striking description. Verse 16, I heard all this, and my heart pounded. My lips quivered at the sound. Decay crept into my bones, and my legs trembled. Habakkuk fears the Lord. As he thinks about the Lord and what he's done, he's terrified. Now, as Christians today, the Bible tells us that because of Jesus, we can be God's children. And that is huge. We can be God's children. We can be forgiven for our sins. That is huge. God is our loving Heavenly Father who loves us and cares for us and listens to us. That is wonderful and all true. And wonderfully, we don't have to fear God's judgment on us because Jesus took it at the cross. That's what the Bible teaches us. But we also mustn't forget the fact that our Heavenly Father God is an awesome, terrifying warrior God. I was chatting to an old work colleague during the week, and he asked, how are you doing? And he said, how's the big man? Is he looking after you? For a minute, I didn't know what he was talking about. So, how's the big man? Is he looking after you? And I thought, he's talking about God. Yeah, God is looking after me. Yeah, great. But it's only when I was thinking later about Habakkuk's prayer here later, I thought, God, he's not the big man. Like, I've called God the big man before, you know, but he's not the big man. He's not the man upstairs. He's not the big G. What does Habakkuk's prayer remind us? He's the terrifying, awe-inspiring God who fights for his people and crumbles mountains and churns the oceans and threshes the nations and blots out the sun, and he commands your obedience. We need to repent. I need to repent of ever talking about the Lord in a flippant way, forgetting that God is awesome, terrifying warrior God. He's huge. Oh, when was the last time we thought about the Lord when we're reading the Bible and thought, wow, our God is awesome. He's terrifying. He's huge. And been so grateful that God is on our side. So glad I'm not his enemy anymore. He's huge. And it's because Habakkuk fears the Lord and because he knows that God is a terrifying, awesome God who fights for his people, Habakkuk can trust God for the future. Habakkuk trusts the Lord. Look at the second half of verse 16. Yet I will wait patiently for Babylon, for the day of calamity to come on the nation invading us, Babylon. Habakkuk can wait patiently for Babylon to be punished, knowing that God is a warrior who fights for his people and rescues his people. I reckon it would have been tempting for the Israelites to doubt that in the future, especially when the time came for the Babylonians to rock up and ransack Jerusalem and carry them off into captivity, which they did. They did all that. And it probably would have been tempting to ask, where is the Lord? Where is the Lord, the awesome warrior who fights for his people? It probably would have been tempting in the years that followed, living in a foreign land, a long way from home. But where's our awesome God who rescues his people, who rescued us in the past? But as God's people reflect on this, and they think about the awesomeness of the Lord and his rescue in the past, they're able to sing. And they're able to say, I will trust him. I will trust the Lord. Gladly I will trust him. He is trustworthy. And not reluctantly, not gloomily, passively waiting for him. But God's people delight in the Lord. That's the third thing that Habakkuk does. He delights in the Lord. Let's read from verse 17. This is so good. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen, and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on the heights. So here Habakkuk says, look, however bad it gets in the meantime, I will delight in the Lord. I'll take joy in him. I'll delight in him. So the Babylonians later, they would sweep through Israel and they'd strip the land. No more crops, no food left, no more flocks and herds. The land would be ransacked. It would be a horrible thing for Israel to endure. And here Habakkuk says, that even though all that is coming, I will delight in the Lord. He's the God who saves us. He's our strength. Verse 19, the sovereign Lord is my strength. Now, Babylon invaded Israel a long time ago. In some ways, as Christians, we're not in the same boat. But in some ways, we are. Because God rescued us in an amazing way. We were rescued by Jesus' willing death and resurrection. Even though we were God's enemies, evil people, destined to come face to face with an awesome, terrifying God as his enemies, Jesus took the punishment that all God's enemies deserve instead of us. So Christians can know that, yes, the Lord is a fearsome, incredible, awesome warrior. And we can say, how amazing is it that he's on our side? That he's our heavenly Father. He is our God. Our rescuer. And as we're waiting for Jesus to come back, which one day he will, as we wait for him to rescue us from this broken world, we're to live with the same fear, the same trust, the same delight that Habakkuk had for his Savior. Habakkuk was confident that his awesome, terrifying warrior God would rescue his people. And that gave him such joy, such delight. Remember, he started in chapter 1, verse 1 to 4, by saying, Lord, how long must I call out for you for help, and you don't listen? That's how the book started. And now he finishes by fearing the Lord, trusting the Lord, delighting in the Lord. Let's do the same. Fearing the Lord, trusting the Lord, delighting in the Lord. Let's just be quiet for a bit and think about that and pray. Father, we want to remember chapter 2, verse 20, that says, "The Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth be silent before him." Lord, it's been so good to spend time in Habakkuk and to be reminded that you are an awesome, terrifying warrior God who fights for his people. Thank you that Habakkuk could have total confidence in you, and so can we. And Lord, we pray that we would go from here thinking and praying about how we can demonstrate that we fear you, that we trust you for the future, and that we delight in you, that we would be noticeable, that it would be very obvious to the people that we meet that we delight in the Lord. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.